I feel like I've been encountering two problems with these readings in Ephesians that we've been doing for a number of weeks. The first one is there's so much good stuff in each of these readings that I feel like I can barely do it justice in one sermon. So trying to focus on one particular thing has been difficult. The other is, in some ways, and this passage is certainly one, I sort of feel like maybe you don't even need a sermon. I should just say, read this passage about 10 more times and then go do it. And so I will say that. If you wanted this week, keep reading this passage and reflecting on it. I would invite you to. And I don't have a lot that I feel needs to be said about this passage, but I did want to sort of frame it in a certain way, because I think Paul is beginning to frame his comments to the Ephesians and to us in a very particular way. Again, he's in the midst of talking about how we live as followers of Christ, how we live together as one body. And he's been getting more and more specific as the weeks have gone on, I think. So today, he gets rather specific. This is where he talks about anger, but he also says, speak truth. Let every word that comes out of your mouth be helpful. I'm going to spend the week, I think, just working on that one thing, and I'll let you know how it goes. But then he says, so don't be bitter, don't be envious. He's getting very specific now about how the followers of Christ, we should behave, as opposed to how too often we do behave. And he frames it sort of, I think, this way, sort of two sides of one coin. Notice he says in the passage, imitate God. Follow the example of Christ. In other words, keep trying to do good. Lean towards what one of my favorite phrases from Abraham Lincoln, what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature. Keep trying to go that way, as opposed to, I think, too often our human inclination, which is towards evil. This is one of the things Calvin and the Calvinists have gotten a lot of things wrong over in history, but I think one of the things they got right was reminding us again and again and again that as human beings, we too often, maybe all the time, are inclined towards evil, inclined towards selfishness, pride, anger, greed, hatred, violence, judgment. Somehow that's in our nature. It's what I would say is maybe original sin, that inclination in us. And that's why I love what Paul says here. As opposed to imitate God, he then also says, don't give opportunity to the devil. Other translations say, as the front of your bulletin says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't let the devil get his foot in the door. Now, whether you believe in an actual physical being called the devil, the embodiment of evil, or if you believe that evil, the devil, is sort of this inclination in all of us that inclines us to do evil, I don't think it matters how you envision that, what that phrase, the devil, means. I think Paul's point is apt, irregardless, which is whatever is inclining us towards evil, stop giving it room to work. Stop giving it a foothold. Stop opening the door to it. Stop following that path. I'm reminded of what Peter says in one of his letters. Your adversary, the devil, is always prowling about looking for someone to devour. Or what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Are we going to be more and more inclined to follow the good, or let those evil impulses rule us? And I think this is where Paul's discussion of anger might be a useful way to envision what he's getting at here in terms of our real life, daily life. Notice Paul doesn't say, and as the children, or the young people wisely didn't say either, anger is not bad. Paul doesn't say don't ever be angry. But notice he says, be angry without sinning. In other words, there is good anger. Again, as the wise young people in this congregation reminded us, there is anger that can be directed towards good. I mean, to get angry about injustice and oppression and people being treated badly, that's good anger. That's the anger that has created all these great reforms and revolutions and movements in our history, civil rights and others, out of anger, channeled towards something good. The problem is, most of us get angry about our feeling oppressed at times. Or we get angry at others and then take it out on others. Or we get angry about one thing and take it out on others who have no connection to that. In other words, we let anger start to rule us, consume us.
That's why Paul says, don't let your anger turn into bitterness or envy
or hatred or violence or even judgment. It's like the story of the two merchants. Our anger can hurt us if we hold on to it, as opposed to finding constructive ways to channel it. I think that's that difference between giving the devil an opportunity. I'm angry, so I'm going to start acting in bad ways towards other people. I'm going to start hurting others and myself. I'm going to let it consume me. My whole day is going to be wrapped up with this anger. Or, instead of giving that evil inclination the foothold through the anger, am I going to channel it into love, work, activism? Which path are we going to follow? And I believe we face these sorts of choices maybe every moment of every day. Am I going to give in to pride and selfishness and defensiveness and judgmentalism and hatred and all of that? Or, regardless of what happens, the circumstances of life, am I going to try to follow that path of God and Christ and goodness and love and grace and forgiveness? I truly believe the choice is ours. Am I going to make the Holy Spirit of God happy or unhappy? Now, another way to frame this is an old Native American story that you may have heard. I was reminded of it this week as I was thinking about all this. It's about the two wolves. I'll bet you, some of you have heard this. One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside all people. He said, "My son, this battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought for a moment about this and then asked Grandpa which wolf wins. And the old Cherokee simply said, "The one that you feed." I think this is almost exactly what Paul is saying in a very different way. Which path, which inclination are we going to follow? We have both in ourselves, I believe, inclining towards good or towards evil. Follow the good wolf or the evil wolf. So I will simply leave you with my own question for you to ponder this week. As you go through your week, speaking and acting and encountering others, I would invite you to keep asking yourself, which wolf am I feeding more? Amen.